You are listening to the Health Hack Podcast, powered by Lumen and hosted by myself, Caroline Pierce. As an athlete, sports scientist, and sports presenter, I am passionate about health and how we can unlock the skills to hack our full potential. Each episode, I'll be joined by a leader in the health and well-being world to learn how they've come to understand their body and turned that knowledge into power that could help you too. Today's guest is one of the OGs of the fitness world, and he will make you smile through any workout that you do. He is a celebrity trainer based in Los Angeles, health and fitness expert, and one of my colleagues on the Top Fitness app, FitOn, where he helps millions of women get fit from the comfort of their own home. It is Kenta Seki. Kenta, welcome to the Health Hack Podcast, my friend. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? I am so good, Caroline. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. And you know, when we spoke on set not too long ago, I just loved hearing more about your background in the industry, all the incredible things you've done. You've been doing this since the beginning, the fitness DVD days and all that good stuff. And I'd love you to tell the listeners a little bit more about what you do in the industry and how that sort of came about.
Yeah, you know, I've had such a very interesting background in fitness. I mean, I started doing fitness when I was like 9 years old on VHS tapes, you know, like the actual cassette tapes. I started doing like yoga from those, and I would just literally redo the same VHS tapes all the time until I eventually started getting old enough to actually start going to classes. And then I actually started getting casted in fitness DVDs. When I was old enough, and that's when I got casted in a project with Jillian Michaels, yeah. Who is, you know, a really fitness icon.
Trainer on The Biggest Loser, for those people that don't know, the original, you know, the TV series, the original trainer. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really fortunate to start working with her. You know, I was her right-hand trainer for many years. I became her personal trainer for a while. And then I just started doing my own things and working out and branching out with different types of brands and working with different celebrities. And now I'm on FitOn as well, and I get to work with you.
Yeah, no, it's been a fantastic journey. So what your passion came, it was really young. What made you at that age, at 9 years old, have that interest in, I mean, a lot of nine-year-olds are playing sport and you know, and games and whatever, but what where did that passion for fitness come from?
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, I was never really into sports. Like, I liked watching sports, but I never got attached to any particular sport. I wasn't in anything group-wise. So I started really focusing on things that I could do by myself, like things at home, like on VHS tapes and yoga. Yoga actually was one that really stood out to me because it kind of looked like a martial art, you know, just done really slow and cool. And it made me want to get into that. So I started with yoga and then I started getting into fitness and lifting weights and going to the gym, and I never looked back.
I like the way you sort of made that correlation between yoga and martial arts, because it's that capoeira almost style, you know, the flicking the legs. I love the flow style of yoga. That's my favorite. And I know we spoke recently and we both said we need to start incorporating more of this back into our lives again, don't we? Sort of as well as the lifting and all the rest of it.
Everybody does. You know, that's the main thing I always say is like, you know, stretching and yoga are one of the best things that you can do for yourself. But it's one of the things that we tend to put off, you know, because it might not show us the results as much as doing cardio or lifting weights, but it's the inner things and the deeper things that those kind of things bring to you that are really so much more beneficial. Mm. So yes, get in your stretching, get in your yoga, make the time for it. And that includes both you and me, Caroline.
I know, I'm going to take that advice as well, because I think so many of us, it's all about got to burn calories, got to build muscle. And, you know, we forget about the balance. And sort of on that note, how have you seen trends change within the industry over the years, you know, both in terms of what's desirable, what people want to look like, and the type of training methods that we're using nowadays?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of it's about the narrative, you know, about what you should be doing fitness for. If you looked in the 90s and 2000s, you know, a lot of it was losing weight and getting skinny. Then it started to be getting into more like building muscle and looking more toned and having abs. And it's still kind of those things, but now the narrative is to be a lot more gentler and empathetic, you know, to the wide variety of people's and body types and life goals and just things that are happening in people's lives. You know, it's like we used to be so hard on people if they weren't a certain way. But now it's like understanding that no matter where you are on the spectrum of health and fitness, to love your body, right? To love yourself and just to keep working and have empathy for yourself and one another. So I think that's one of the biggest takeaways. Especially lately in the fitness industry, that I'm a huge fan of.
And I love the way you talk on your website, and I've heard you say it as well during your workouts, it's all about encouraging people to live a healthy, happy, and sexy life. And I like that part as well. Like, we want to be healthier. Yeah, of course we'll be happier, but how do we make ourselves feel more sexy in our own skin? I think that's really important.
I think that the first thing you have to have when it comes to being sexy, you know, is having confidence. you know, in yourself and accepting yourself and loving yourself so that no matter what you look like, no matter how you're feeling, you know, you have this base level of confidence, and confidence is sexy. So, yeah. So just working on that and not judging yourself too much if you don't want to like look or feel a certain way, but more how do you feel? And if you can have that, you know, that can help read the ground for what is deemed attractive or what is deemed sexy. So having the confidence, you know, first and foremost is what I'd like to say.
And I like the, what you just said about how things have changed from us, you know, skinny being what people wanted to being more muscular, athletic. And I think that's a healthier desirable trait, if you like. It's healthier to strive to be, to have the abs and the glutes and the thighs and whatever it is, as opposed to being stick thin. How do you then, through your, I said at the beginning, you make everyone smile through their workouts. And I think it's in part because it's reflective. You smile, people smile back at you. But it's also the style of your training. It must instill confidence in people, just the way you talk to them. How's that important to you? Or sort of why is that important to you? And how do you always bring that energy to everything that you do? Because it's really infectious, Kenta. It really is.
Thank you. I don't know. I mean, it's genuine. You know, I guess that's the first place where it's coming from. It's not something that I necessarily try to do. It genuinely is just who I am and what I bring to places. And I think it starts with, you know, me really being in the right place and me doing what I feel like I should be doing. And that alignment is what brings my happiness and what brings that positivity. And that's why I think it crosses over so well. So if people don't have that, you know, I mean, I think first and foremost, it just comes to finding out your why of what it is that you're doing. And if it's exercise, then to be reminding yourself of your why so that you can have a bigger purpose so that when you do it, you have more joy. You know, if you find yourself having to force yourself into doing things that you don't really want to be doing, it's not going to necessarily be like a positive experience for you. So as much as you can, focus on your why, focus on your reasons and your motivations behind things, and you'll end up enjoying them more in the long run.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I did mention as well, you are a celebrity trainer, and Kenta, I know you work with some big names in the industry. What kind of challenges does that bring? Because you're working with individuals who are having to keep fit while on set. There's a lot of travel involved for both you and them. Body transformations, red carpet, all those kind of things. What different challenges does it bring about working with such high profile names?
I guess the first thing that a lot of my celebrity clients like that I'm bringing is just a genuine, you know, connection between me and them and me helping them get to their goals. And I always try to not get caught up in the celebrityness of it all, you know, and no matter what they're doing on the side, no matter, you know, how often I see them on billboards or whatever, I talk to them one-on-one and heart-to-heart as if they're just a friend. Yeah. And then having the privacy, you know, I think is one of the biggest things that that celebrities and just anyone really, you know, appreciates when it comes to having a relationship with someone like a personal trainer, you know, because you're really being put in very open and vulnerable spaces. Trusting their and respecting their privacy, I think, is also really important.
What's the challenge on you? Is there pressure because they say, well, I'm on the red carpet or I'm on this movie and I have to look this way by this date? I guess similar to someone getting ready for a wedding or whatever it might be. Is there that pressure on you in that sense to you got to deliver?
Yes and no, but you have to do that regardless if they're a celebrity or not, right? That's the job that I took on when I started getting into personal training. So the fact that they are a celebrity or the fact that, you know, they're going to be on a red carpet, it doesn't necessarily make me want to do my job, you know, more than what I would have before, you know, because this is what I really want to do. And I really believe that I'm helping people. So I think it's just a little bit more that it has to be piloted, but it's still, I still believe that as personal trainers and as fitness professionals, we owe it to the people that we're working with to help them get to their goals. So that's really where I'm focused on first.
And I love that you said, you know, you're treating people as equal no matter who they are. And I know a lot of people that you work with who follow your workouts from home, you know, it's a community. You know, we build that fitness community, especially during the pandemic when people, they couldn't go to classes or maybe couldn't even see their personal trainer one-on-one. It was all done from the comfort of our own home. And we've been delivering those workouts through FitOn and other online sort of sources. How important is it for people to have that community, to have those people around them to help them on their fitness journey rather than feeling like it's something you're having to do alone?
I definitely think it helps. It's not a mandatory factor in any type of goal, but it definitely helps having some type of support system that is outside of yourself. I always say first work on yourself, first work on building your own motivation, and setting your own levels of discipline. But then having friends, having family, having a community to help support you is one of the biggest things that can help you get more success. Yeah, even if it's just one person, even if it's like, you know, a few friends of yours, even if it's a few people online, like whatever it may be, having a support system is is one of the biggest keys to success in any goal.
Yeah, absolutely. How would you describe your style of training? If people wanted to follow your workouts on it, how would you describe your style of training?
Challenging. You know, I always like to make sure that they are something that will challenge almost any level. So I really try to offer as many different modifications, whether it's a regression or a progression of a movement. So that way, no matter what level you're in, I try to welcome you in and then just push you to do whatever you can do that day. Because some days you might be wanting to do more, some days you might be willing to do less. But whatever it is, as long as you show up and try your best, that's what counts. So challenging is always one of the first ways, and welcoming to many levels is another. And just well-rounded. You know, just like you, Caroline, I know, like, as with your training and with athletic training, you know, you want to try to create as many different styles of movement and exercise and just things that will challenge your body. And I think that's an important factor in my workout programs and yours as well.
Thank you. And the fun element as well, as you said before, you can tell you're having fun. And I think people doing your workouts will feel the same. One thing that we talk about here, the sponsor of our podcast, the Health Hack Podcast, is Lumen, the metabolic device, handheld device that helps to measure your metabolism, tell you whether you're in your fat burning or carbohydrate burning state. And I think there's been such an advancement in technology that gives us that information nowadays that is power. Because not one size fits all when it comes to training or diet and so forth. So we have so much at our disposal now to help us understand our body and make choices accordingly. So I'll use my Lumen device in the mornings fasted to check whether maybe I ate too late and I'm still burning carbohydrate. Maybe post-workout, did I get into the fat burning zone? I find it absolutely fascinating. How big a part in your eyes is the technology available to us nowadays in helping us to personalize our training and our nutrition and everything that's available to us today?
I love it. I think wearable technology and just smart technology, anything that gives us body metrics, anything that gives us something to measure and see our progress and where our body is so important, regardless of what it is. And I think we're only getting started. That's the best part. You know, I'm so excited to see where technology goes. You know, now that I thought it was ending with wearable devices, you know, like watches or whatever. But now to be breathing into devices and actually seeing what you're burning, that's amazing. You know, like, what else are we going to be able to do in a few years? So at the very least, it's for finding out ourselves, you know, like what we're doing, but also to see our progress and to be able to give that information to medical professionals and other things. So that way we can really start getting a more well-rounded idea of what our fitness levels are.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's very engaging as well. And of course, it's about metabolism. We talk about Lumen, it's about metabolism and all of us wanting to burn fat, lose weight. We've got to boost or maintain a higher metabolism as we get older. How would you, or what would your advice be to anyone wanting to elevate their metabolism? Give it a kickstart, if you like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, consistency is one of the most important things when it comes to any goal. So if you're looking at increasing your metabolism, whatever it is that you're starting to do, even if it's a 10-minute workout per day, you have to do it as consistently as possible. Because if you just do it every now and then, it's not going to really make a more stronger change to your metabolism. You have to do it consistently. So your body starts to understand like, oh, okay, this is what you want us to be doing now. So let's make the change, you know? So whatever it is that you're doing, you know, whether it's an hour or whether it's 10 minutes, be consistent with it and try to get it in most days of the week and make it part of your routine. And that's when you'll see the biggest changes to your metabolism.
Yeah, great advice. And what do you think the biggest mistakes are that people make when it comes to, you know, trying to get consistency, sustain weight loss, or, you know, maintain that whatever size they're at, not gain weight? In other words, what mistakes are people making in your eyes that you come across in reaching their goals?
The biggest one is not having enough consistency. Just thinking you need to do things a few times a week and then just, oh, I didn't see any results, so I stopped doing it. Sometimes things take time and consistency. You have to do it often. You have to do it for multiple days per week, multiple times, multiple weeks in a row, multiple months in a row to really see the biggest results. So don't give up too early because you didn't see results. You have to be consistent with it. And then once you start to see results within that, how can we change it to make it even more intense to get even better results after that? So, you know, being consistent and making sure it's part of your daily habits. If I were to say one more, you know, make sure it's something that you can maintain long term. You know, that it's easy to jump into a new routine, but if it's not something that is realistic for you and your goals, then you might need to adjust it, whether it's pulling back or even doing more.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to nutrition, it can be a little bit of a minefield, all the different diets that are available to people now, from keto, Atkins, fasting, intermittent fasting, the list goes on. And I can see why a lot of people that aren't in the industry can be confused. You know, well, that celebrity just lost X amount of weight on this diet, or my friend's doing, you know, whatever it is. Where do you stand on the use of more specific tailored structured diets, if you like the ones I mentioned. What's your stance on that? Are they suitable for anybody?
Well, not just for anybody. You know, there's so many different types of diets, and it's all about finding the one that works for you. You know, it might be so easy to see or hear about someone else, as you mentioned, that has gone through something successfully, but no two bodies are exactly the same. You know, you can get two people and put them on the exact same diet, and you'll still get different results based on the genetics and their own personal body makeup and their own personal, you know, activity level and so many other factors. So first and foremost, try not to compare yourself to other people's bodies, you know, and find one that works for you. And again, one that you can do long term, because there's a ton of diets that you can do that will give you maybe quick results. But if you just go back to your old eating habits and just throw it all out the window, then it's not going to be something that's sustainable. So it's all about finding something that is effective, that you can actually sustain. And then that's how you get the best results that are long lasting.
We live in a world of such instant gratification, don't we? The speed at which we scroll through Instagram, the speed at which we want results. And I love that messaging. It really is about sticking to something and giving it a chance and then adapting as you go along. I love all of that. Something that is desirable for a lot of people as well, and we've talked about is, and links to metabolism as well, is building and holding onto your muscle mass. Muscle mass, obviously, keeping your metabolism high and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. What is the best way to build and sustain your muscle mass? Is with diet and exercise or both? What are your ways in which you achieve that?
Diet and exercise, of course. You know, the more muscle you have, the higher your metabolism is, because that muscle needs more calories in order to sustain itself. So strength training. Strength training is one of the biggest ways that you can build and sustain muscle mass. So whatever method or modality that is for you, whether it's just body weight training, you know, whether it's lifting weights at the gym, whether it's some type of athletic training, whatever it is, something that is working your muscles, you know, hopefully getting you sore, and something that you're doing consistently, you know, to really make sure you're getting the breakdown and rebuilding of muscle to make sure it stays strong.
Absolutely. And I think this is dying now anyway, but let's squash the myth that for women, lifting weights is going to make them bulky. Come on, why should women lift weights as well?
Women should totally lift weights. You know, the idea of bulk, I mean, look at you as an example. Come on, a type of Olympic and impressive weightlifting that you do. And look at your body. Your body is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
But I mean, and you, even you lift heavy. So imagine if just doing a fraction of that, you can still build and sustain and strengthen up your muscles. So yeah, absolutely. Please, women, do not be afraid to lift weights. You know, you have to really put a lot of effort into doing what's called hypertrophy, which is like muscle building, if that's your goal. You have to do it every single day. You have to be lifting really heavy. You have to be eating a ton of extra calories in order to be getting bulky. Yeah, it's not easy. So just because you're lifting like a 5-pound dumbbell, do not be afraid. Your arm will not get bulky.
I love it. And I want to address hormones as well, because we've talked nutrition, we've talked training, but I think more attention, and rightly so, is now being placed on hormones and how they can inhibit and enhance our training and our well-being, from cortisol, the stress hormone, and testosterone diminishing in men and women as we get older. How important are hormones in this whole conversation, and how do we achieve hormonal balance?
That's a tough one. And that's one actually that has the least amount of published research, which is crazy. You know, for years now, we've always been saying how many calories equal a pound? And if you're not eating that many or having that much of a deficit, that's the only way that you can know how much you're gaining or losing. But now we're starting to see there are other factors, including hormones, that can really make or break any type of diet or metabolism. So I think hormones are a huge thing that we're just really starting to scratch the surface of how much they really play a part in our diet and our metabolism. Things that can affect them, as you said, cortisol is one of the leading ones of the stress hormone, right? That can cause all types of havoc in your body if you have too much of it. So if you find that you're getting stressed and you probably have high levels of cortisol in your body, then you can do all types of things that can eventually help burn it out. Exercise is one of them. You know, so just making sure you're exercising, making sure you're getting enough sleep.
Gosh, sleep, yes.
Yes, making sure you're getting the right diet. You don't want to be doing too much sugar, too much, you know, high processed carbs, anything that your body will have to work on breaking down, because then that challenges your digestive system, which then could lead to even more cortisol. So it's a whole well-rounded thing that you really have to get together in order to bring down the hormones, you know, especially the stress hormones. So it's a huge topic to cover. We're just really starting to understand it. But bringing it all together could definitely help you.
And I think that comes back to something you said earlier as well about listening to your body. And, you know, when we're training, it's not just about beasting ourselves and training as hard as we can. You know, if we do that, that cortisol level spikes and, you know, we're probably getting adverse response to what we really want. So hormones are a huge conversation we could talk for an hour on as well. But I think it's something that people should be mindful of, as well as the eating and the training. Supplementation is another area that can be, you know, minefield for people. What to take, when to take it, all that kind of thing. So just want a few little kind of health hack bits of information from you. Is if you were to say, what are the essential vitamin and minerals that people should be taking for everyday health? What ones would you advise your clients to take or take yourself?
First and foremost, I always say, if you can get your multivitamins and minerals, your RDA of everything in your diet first, you know, by making sure you're eating the right amounts of wide variety of foods, that's always the best way. You know, it's so easy to push supplements, you know, take your multivitamin every day. But first and foremost, see if you can get it through your food. But unfortunately, most people don't. So if you're not, then a multivitamin plus mineral is generally the best way to make sure you're getting in all the basics at first, you know, and then I would make sure that you're getting a vitamin plus mineral. You know, a lot of people just do the vitamins, but vitamins and minerals are two separate things. And you want to make sure you're getting them together to really make sure your body is as well balanced as possible. So that'd be the first one. You know, your second one, if you're not getting in a lot of good healthy fats, polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats, then you could be doing like a fish oil or omega-3, something to be getting those for your heart, brain, everything health. And then it depends on what your athletic levels are and what you're doing, but if you're doing and what your goals are. But I mean, I personally would take creatine. I take my branched chain amino acids. You know, there's so many along those lines, and it depends on what your goals are. But along those basic lines, that's where I'd start.
No, I love that. And then you touched on it there as well with the BCAAs. Some people, if we train hard, we need a little extra in terms of our recovery. So just to sort of expand a little bit on what we can do to help with our recovery in terms of supplements and anything else that you think is advantageous.
I love recovery now. I think if we're talking about the biggest trends in fitness, there's so much more focus now on recovery, which I think is amazing.
I think I spend more time on recovery than training now.
I love it. I mean, the massage guns, the foam rolling, the ice baths, the infrared saunas, you know, I mean, the leg things that there's so many different physical things you can do. But as far as, you know, diet things you can do, first and foremost, if we're talking recovery, make sure you're hydrated, right? Drink the right amount of water every single day to make sure your body is nourished and hydrated to help it recover. After that, BCAAs, your branched chain amino acids, or your EAAs, your essential amino acids, are something that is really good to take during and post workout, especially if you have a really high intensity workout. You want to make sure you're replenishing your amino acids, which are like the building blocks of your body, because you use them up and you burn through them during high intensity workouts. So you want to make sure you replenish them as soon as possible. Otherwise, if you work out hard and you wait a long time, your body's going to start to eat up from other sources of your body, like your muscle, you know, so it's important that you're getting in things during and post workout if you have high intensity exercise for long duration.
Love it. This is all great advice, especially this time of year, as I think a lot of people are embarking on new fitness journeys and wellness and want to maybe lose weight or just be kinder and nicer to their bodies. So if I was to just get one last piece of advice from you in terms of if you're thinking about beginning your fitness journey or starting again, if you've let it drop off for a period of time over the holidays and whatever, what would be your top three ways to get yourself motivated and active and back into living a healthier lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost is find your why. No matter what your goal is, first, let's start off with your intrinsic motivation. What is it what makes you want to do this? And start writing down your list of your whys. Start surrounding yourself with it, whether it's making playlists on your phone, whether it's saving photos, whether it's writing a journal, whatever it may be, find your why and make it part of your life so that you're motivated to do what it is that you want to do. Second is make a plan, you know, with your goal, whether it's like writing down, okay, how many days per week do you want to be working out? What exercises do you want to be doing on each one? Put it in your calendar, write down what days and times, and that way you know what you're going to do. If you just think, I want to get fit, and maybe I'll go to the gym a few times a week, maybe I'll do a few workouts, like those are the ones that tend to fall off the most. You have to make a plan. So first, find your why. Second, you know, make a plan. And then third, have patience with yourself, you know, and empathy with yourself and truly love yourself through this process, because it is a nonstop journey, you know, health and fitness. And there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows, you're going to fall off, you're going to get back on. It's a constant battle. It's this constant thing. And it's beautiful. you know, but you have to be just kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself about it. Don't judge your body. Don't send your body negative energy. Just be kind to yourself, you know, so that way throughout the journey becomes a much more enjoyable experience for you and your body.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic. And for you personally, what's your goal this year? What is it you're setting out to do or have lined up? And where can people follow you for more fantastic information?
For me personally, you know, my goals are always very similar. It's just to be as well-rounded of an athlete and as a person as possible. So as we had spoken, again, one of my ways to get more well-rounded is to start factoring yoga back into my life. So I'm trying to go at least once a week now. You know, I always stretch and do the, you know, basic mobility work, but actually dedicating time, you know, to really focus on yoga and things like that is a really big goal of mine to get that back into my life. But as other than that, I mean, if you'd like to follow me, you can find me on Instagram at Kenta Seiki. You can find me on any of the other social platforms, and you can also work out with me and Caroline for free on the FitOn app.
There you go. Oh, Kenta, it's so good to see you again. It's so good to catch up. Thank you for all your fantastic advice joining us here on the Health Hack Podcast, and I look forward to working and seeing each other again soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to the Health Hack Podcast with myself, Caroline Pierce. Each episode provides a healthy dose of health hacking, so make sure to hit subscribe or follow so you don't miss out. I would be truly grateful if you could rate and review wherever you're listening to help others seeking inspiring stories and health hacks to find us. The Health Hack is an Insanity Podcast production and powered by Lumen. See you next time.